Have you ever heard a song on the radio and it sounds instantly familiar?
I think I've already lost you. I think you're already gone.
Halfway through the tune, you're humming along with the verse, and by the end, mouthing a few words of the chorus.
I wanna push you around. Well, I will. Well, I will.
For that, you can thank the songwriter. Those people who have the gift to create music that is effortless to enjoy. Rob Thomas is a Grammy-winning, multi-million record-selling, Hall of Famer singer-songwriter. He made his mark as the lead singer of Matchbox 20, but has taken time for some solo work. His second solo effort, called Cradle Song, is due on June 30th, 2009. The first single is Her Diamonds.
And she says, oh, I can't take no more. Her tears like diamonds on the floor. And her diamonds bring me down. Cause I can't help her now.
Rob Thomas joins us here in the studio. Hi, Rob.
Hey. Wow, when I hear you talk about me, I'm impressed. I was not that impressed. And then when I heard you talk about me, I feel like, wow, I've done something.
It's interesting. I heard Her Diamonds on the radio. Oh, this is a great song. And then I read the lyric sheet, and I don't entirely get it. I'm going to be honest. I get that she's having a bad day.
Yeah.
Can you explain Her Diamonds to me?
Well, for me, the song was about my wife who has an autoimmune disease and kind of dealing with that. You have good days and bad days, and the song was written on a bad day.
Oh, what the hell? She says, I just can't win for losing. And she lays back down. Man, there's so many times I don't know what I'm doing. Like I don't know now.
My job is to write about how that moment makes me feel more than that actual moment. You know, like you don't live with my wife, but I want that song to mean something to you. So the song is about empathy. The song is just about where, you know, somebody who's the most important person in the world to you. And all you want to do in those situations is whatever you have to do to make them feel better. If they're thirsty, you want to give them water. If they're cold, you want to bring them a blanket. And when you're dealing with certain things are just so big and so out of everyone's control that there's nothing that you can do but have empathy and sympathy and just be there. And if they need to cry, you need to be the one that they cry to or cry with. There's a couple songs on the record, like Give Me the Meltdown is another one that's it's more upbeat, but it is about that. It's about, you know, I'm the only person in your life that you can unload on. So you can go ahead and completely unload on me, and I will still be here when it's all done. And when you're apologizing to me for unloading on me, I'll still be here for that, you know?
Is songwriting hard for you or easy? Is it effortless, or is it something you have to really sit down and mine and do?
I think it's both. You know, I mean, I think the most magical part is the inspiration. Yeah, that's the part that you don't have any responsibility over. It's the moment where you're sitting in a room or in a car and you hear a melody in your head and you start kind of humming along, like you said, and then you realize that that's a melody that doesn't really exist yet. And then that part you have no control over. I think the line between inspiration and craft, you know, the inspiration part is magical. Everybody finds their niche at what they're good at. You know, some people are authors or some people understand cars or sports. You know, like somebody can listen to my car and tell me exactly what's wrong with it when I start it up. I don't know anything about any of those things. But for some reason, music and songs just made sense to me.
There's something about the word cradle that is very intimate or very comforting. Tell me a little bit about the song Cradle Song.
It's funny because it's, you know, Cradle Song is a word for lullaby, and this isn't a collection of lullabies. It's a collection of songs that cover everything from life and love and loss and all the way to death at the very end of the record. Cradle Song to me felt like, you know, from the cradle to the grave, it encapsulates kind of all these emotions that you have throughout your life. Cradle Song itself was a kind of a lullaby, you know, the world is horrible sometimes, but it's okay because I'm going to sing you this lullaby and everything's going to be all right.
Everybody's got a different story. Everybody want to give themselves away. But I'm still afraid. If
We can stay out of their field of vision if we can keep ourselves a half a world away.
I learned a lot about you from your Twitter page.
Yeah.
You took your dog to the vet. Your wife had some really pretty flowers. You took a picture of those. You sort of wandered into some political territory. And you wrote a piece for Huffington Post as a result, because you were very open about that you support gay marriage. Mm-hmm. The first line of your piece is funny. It says, "I'm a straight man with a big gay chip on my shoulder."
Yes.
Did you realize you were wandering into such contentious territory when you first Twittered about something?
The fact that it was such contentious territory was, I think, the whole beef of my article, because the idea that we were talking about something that basically boiled down to people's individual moral beliefs. And so, yeah, you kind of knew that you were opening up that bag of worms when you did. Mm-hmm. I think any time that you do that, people think that you're attacking their religion, you know. And I think that when you bring in the idea that, hey, I don't think that your religion should have anything to do with the way that I live my life or my friends live their life, I think that all of a sudden the people get really defensive about it. And this is coming from someone who is surrounded by Christians. You know, my friends.
Some of your best friends are Christians.
Most of them are. But they're also tolerant, you know, of all religions. These are people who believe that everybody has the right, you know, to worship as they please and live as they please, or not worship if they please. And anytime that you're talking about the way that people live their lives and civil rights issues, it affects all of us. And I think that once you start taking them away from fringe groups, you know, I'm saying this with my little quotes that nobody can see, then it's only a step away from being able to take them away from anybody, you know. And then who's to say what they decide is a fringe group?
Of all the songs on your new record, which one are you looking forward to performing live?
Probably Fire on the Mountain. It was a song that I had written after I read this Dave Eggers book called What is the What? And it was a kind of like a novelized first-person account of a Sudanese refugee that had been transplanted into Atlanta, and then talking about firsthand what that was like, kind of growing up. And the idea of being so comfortable with terror and chaos and, you know, these rebels coming into your camp and being able to look up in the mountains and gauge the distance of the village and the distance that's being burned. And we're people who like live insulated, kind of comfortable lives like we do, just knowing that was in our city, we would pack up and we would run. But they could look at it and go, well, you know, that's far enough away that we'll sleep now, and then tomorrow we'll wake up and we can move our village and we'll have time. But then just as a piece of music, it had this just, I think, this great raw quality to it. We had Michael Bland, who's Prince's drummer, playing on it. It's funny because as soon as I play it, everybody's like, ooh, that's the show closer, right? That's the one, right?
Rob Thomas, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck with the tour.
Thanks.
You can hear songs from Rob Thomas's upcoming album, Cradle Song, at nprmusic.org. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Sarah Bayer Kelly and produced by Peter Breslow, Thomas Pierce, Elaine Heinzman, Gemma Waters, Kimberly Adams, Veronica Miller, Brian Reed, Brent Bachman, and Patrick Yaliviera. Our technical director is Burke Hun. Key Molesky and Mary Glenn Denning are our reference librarians. Melissa Goh is our web producer. Our senior editor is Tony Marcano. The senior producer of Weekend Edition is Devar Iran Ardalan. Scott Simon will be back next week. I'm Allison Stewart.